One of the most dramatic changes in healthcare caused by the COVID crisis is the exponential growth in the use of telemedicine. People are now routinely doing doctor's appointments over Zoom and similar platforms, and that's something that was unthinkable just a few months ago. But the use of technology to help patients get and manage their care goes beyond just a video session with your primary care doctor. There's also a growing number of technologies to support care in the home, and more web-based and mobile tools for patients as well. We have three experts with us today to sort through all of this, talk about what it means for patients, and also take a look at the future of what's known as e-health. Dr. Dragos Banu is physician leader and medical director of primary care at the University of Vermont Health Network Alice Hyde Medical Center. Todd Patterson is an occupational therapist and currently director of home health services and the interim compliance officer at UVM Health Network Home Health and Hospice. And Todd Young is director of telehealth services for the UVM Health Network. Thanks to all of you for being with us today. So there's obviously a lot to talk about here, and perhaps it makes sense to start with assessing the current state, how it's working out for patients and providers. So Dr. Banu, you first. How has the increased use of telemedicine been working out for patients and providers at Alice Hyde?
All of us had to, you know, transform ourselves along with having compassion and understanding for our patients because it is also new. To answer your question, in a rural area where Alice Hyde is located, which is Malone, New York, things have been working really well. Patients were, and some of them still are, scared. And although we're all doing our best to make it as safe as possible, there's a degree of comfort for some of my patients and my colleagues' patients just to log on the internet on different platforms. Zoom seems to be working really the best for us, and get on with their providers and take care of their issues. That is something chronic, that is something acute. We have had a tremendous experience with this program, and we have seen less and less patients agglomerating our emergency rooms, which is important these times.
So tell me a little bit more about that. You think that they are comfortable enough with telemedicine that they're connecting with their doctors that way and not holding off and waiting till a problem gets bad enough to go to the ED?
I think we have a good pool of patients that are very comfortable and, as a matter of fact, prefer that type of appointment. They are not feeling well. They're in their homes at their discretion, in their bed, as some of them, and they could get on Zoom with me or their provider, and they feel safe and they feel very comfortable. We have patients who, it's not necessarily a question of comfort. Serving a rural area, I think one of the key points that were challenged is connectivity issues, internet issues. Some of our folks live very remotely, and it's difficult to access this type of technology. And there are some things that we've been trying to innovate to the best of our ability. An example was, for that type of population, we have a sort of a drive-through service. They can come in, get in from their car, somebody gives them an iPad, they connect to Zoom, and we try to help them. And then you have the folks that really feel more comfortable to come in person, and we serve all of the above to the best of our ability.
So Todd Patterson at Home Health and Hospice, what would you say about access to technology in the home health space?
We are trying a lot of different creative things, and Dr. Banu's example of drive-through is great, but we're also working with different agencies in both states to find places where folks can get telemedicine if they can't get it at their home because they don't have a device at home or they don't have bandwidth. So we're working with libraries, we're working with congregate homes, we're working with municipalities to find places where folks can come in and both get technical assistance and network and devices to make these types of visits happen if folks can't come into the office.
What would you say about access to technology in terms of the home health space?
Yeah, we've had similar challenges. Some of it's generational, comfort using the device. We expected to see a lot more telehealth than phone, but we found that there were certain individuals that preferred the phone, even though we really encouraged the use of Zoom. We've also reached out to local subacute nursing facilities and assisted livings that we partner with and put tablets within those buildings for the duration of the pandemic so that we have an opportunity to access them.
So staying with you, Todd Patterson, on home health, in addition to the the Zoom interactions that we've touched on already, you also, with home health, have a lot of remote monitoring capability. What would you say has changed in the last couple of months during COVID as far as the use of technology in home health?
I think that we've seen a change in trending. Initially, it was interesting. People were declining the use of remote patient monitoring because they didn't want a visitor in their home. Now that they understand that we have enough PPE and it's become more normalized in the world, people are accepting those services again. So we've seen a large uptick again in the ability to get in and provide this remote patient monitoring support to families and people in the home.
Dr. Banu, I want to circle back on the experience over the last couple of months. What do you say has happened on the provider side? What's your assessment of that?
That's a very good question. We've had, as anything in life, we have various personalities and various degrees of comfort. And as we have different types of patients, we also have different type of providers from different ages. And I've seen sort of a dichotomy. Some of the folks that are very comfortable and extremely efficient and have actually increased access in their practice. In addition to that, satisfaction and happiness at work has increased because of telehealth. Most of them also have the opportunity to work from home, which is very nice to be able to do, especially when you have young kids. On the other side, we've had providers that really had a hard time with this. Somebody more traditional that really is used to putting hands on their patients and examining them and listen to their lungs and abdomen and their heart and have a more hands-on type of training have had a more difficult time adjusting. And that's also a reality. And I think everybody's doing their best. And as my colleague mentioned, some of our providers prefer the video. Some of them like more in person. Some of them like the phone. But again, I think we have a combination and we're flexible. And that's how we've been dealing with it so far.
Yeah. And it certainly was a quick adjustment for everybody to make back in March and April. So Todd Young, I'm turning to you to get a bigger picture view on what's happening with telehealth in our region, still with the COVID situation in mind. At this point, what are the lessons learned, do you think, about having to make this shift and how it's all playing out?
We've done a lot of surveying of our patients to understand the difference between in-person, telephone, and video. And we're finding that our patients are quite satisfied with these new modalities for care. And so part of that big picture is knowing that patients want this to stay. So what we need to do as an organization is really focus on making our programs sustainable. And a lot of us have had to grow our programs really rapidly. We went from 150 users to over 3,000 in a month's time frame. Not everything was, done completely well during that period. So now we're coming back and we're refining workflow and operations and improving infrastructure to make it sustainable. So that's the focus. The other focus is working with our payers. A lot of regulation, a lot of payer decisions were made during this period as well to accommodate telemedicine. And we continue to work with both the government payers and the private payers to make this a sustainable part of healthcare going forward.
Right. They sort of suspended a lot of those limitations to make care possible during COVID, but it's still an open question as to whether it'll be reinstated or not. Todd Patterson at Home Health and Hospice, I'm wondering if you want to address a little bit the patient end of this. You talked about getting over kind of a comfort level hump, but do you think this is increasing the ability to serve more people at home?
We serve a number of different populations because we have our family and children's program as well as our adult programs. And what we're seeing is that the family and children programs are really benefiting from this. The families seem to really be embracing the technology. They've been doing therapies over the tablet as well. And so I can see that continuing on. That's, of course, mostly state-funded, and so the reimbursement was there to support it. Whereas with our adult programs, we also lean heavily on Medicare. They allow us to do the work, but they won't recognize the work as a visit for reimbursement purposes. So I think the other part about the adult home health is that we didn't leave the field. We continued to treat people in their home unless they refused to see us. If they refused to see us, then we would try and use some of the telehealth platforms. And that allowed us to have some connection with them, which was really good to see them through the pandemic.
Dr. Bonham, I wonder if you can address the folks listening to this who haven't yet had a telemedicine experience and who are apprehensive about it. What advice do you have as far as doing this for the first time and what the experience is like?
As a patient, and I remember myself experiencing it, being on the other side, and at the beginning, it's totally fine and normal to be apprehensive, and it's something different, and it's something so personal. Most of us who have tried a telehealth service with our providers experience a different type of feeling. You can feel safe and comfortable that your home, your car, at work, and you have somebody on the other side who is just ready to take care of you. I would say try it and see if it's for you and make a decision after if that's something that you and your provider are willing to continue. And we're sort of all going through this change, all of us together. It's new for everybody.
Todd Young, I also wanted to touch on what's happening with the patient portals like Epic's MyChart. Access to providers using this technology was happening and expanding, mostly on the primary care side before COVID hit. I'm thinking about pilot programs for services like e-visits, where patients can answer some questions inside the portal to help assess and treat common conditions. So talk a little bit about the role of that going forward. Do you see that maintaining and increasing as well?
So MyChart is our patient portal, and it's been in place for quite some time, but it was mostly just for patients to get information from their records and to do light messaging with their offices. But going forward, we're migrating our video visit to be launched from there. We have expanded our use of e-visits across all our patient, our primary cares that use our primary EMR Epic. And then we're also exploring and doing some pilots around on-demand video visits as well. So think about it as urgent care within the portal itself when you need to see a provider without an appointment. So all those things coming together will provide a digital way for patients to connect with their provider and allow them to make choices on the venue of care depending on the urgency of the matter and what they're comfortable with as far as the type of care that they want. And it will give our patients a lot more options in the realm of virtual care going forward.
I'm afraid to say that's all the time we have for today, but my thanks to Dr. Dragos Banu, Todd Patterson, and Todd Young. And thank you for joining us today for this conversation with experts from the UVM Health Network. For more information about COVID-19, visit uvmhealth.org/coronavirus.